Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, August the 10th, 2014.
Well, we'll sing a little bit tonight and have a special music. And as I said, Jeremiah is going to share with us tonight, too. So stand with me as we begin, and we're going to sing Revive Us Again. Just a little bit less monitor.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, I'm the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, I'm the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee.
Sound of abundance of rain, showers of
ask Judy Summers if she would to come and share with us in song, and we'll take the offering a little later in the service.
Not that I'm trying to date anybody, you know, give a timeline or anything, but the first time you ever sang in this church, didn't you sing that song?
Probably, I don't know.
That would have been, what, about 1984?
Whenever Amy Grant came out with it.
Well, it's beautiful, Judy, thank you. Well, we saved the offering, unless otherwise designated. The offering is going to go to Jeremiah and to Amy tonight, and so we encourage you to give generously. So, Father, thank you for the Johnsons and the opportunities that they've been having in China, Father. We pray that as they're going through these next several steps, Father, that they'd sense your will and your direction in all that they're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to take a few minutes and open the Word tonight with you. And so if you get your Bibles, I'd like to go back to Ruth chapter 1. And in Ruth chapter 1, you really see the rest of the story, because what we saw this morning as we were working our way through this text, we really saw three case studies. We saw Naomi, and her life was dominated by repentance. It came slow, admittedly. It was 10 years in coming, probably should have come a whole lot earlier, but it did come, finally. And when it came, she made the decision to return to her country and to the inheritance to which God had called them. And so that was a pretty good deal. Orpha, on the other hand, while she was emotionally moved and while she was encouraged with a lot of things, it didn't dawn on her to follow through with those things, and she didn't think enough of Jehovah Yahweh God to come with her and to come back. And so whatever had been her ties, they were pretty token that she had. And Ruth, of course, was the great picture, because while Orpha returned to her gods, and the context really indicates that there was a plurality that she was involved with, and all, while she did that, Ruth instead was shoulder to shoulder with Naomi and made a whole series of commitments that are just sort of chronicled for us in verses 16 and 17. And of course, the height of it all is, "Your God, my God." And it was that kind of a commitment that she made. Now, if you look closely through the book, what you're going to see, and in fact, when you see Ruth's name mentioned in other parts of the Bible, when people talk about it, invariably they talk about Ruth the Moabitess. And to say that she was a Moabitess was not a badge of honor that she was wearing per se. It really pointed to the fact that she had some pretty severe spiritual needs, that she was part of a nation of people that had no real interest in spiritual things. And so consequently, you know, she was, you know, they were caught in that kind of a situation. And so there was a sense in which this was a disaster that for which there probably would not have been much of a way to work your way around. But instead, in these disasters, you begin to see the Lord giving them some direction. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah's experiencing a little bit of a disaster right now, and I rather suspect that they've got some questions, and they've got some concerns, and they look to the future, and they're uncertain about a variety of those kinds of things. I think all of us have been there one time or another, where we have looked at things and we've seen things and we just haven't known which way we would be going along the way. And how in the world you deal with disasters and everything. And when you're looking at this text, you begin to see a little bit of the way that Naomi and Ruth dealt with this disaster. Because in verse 19 it says, "So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem." Bethlehem, of course, house of bread, that kind of thing. It happened that when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. Now, it was a smaller city at that time for sure, and it had been 10 years since they had seen Naomi, and I don't know if it was the way she walked or her basic physical features that had not necessarily changed that much. She was 10 years older, and 10 years works on all of us, I would say. Some of us more than others, I might add. But as you look at that text, it said that all of the city was excited because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And of course, the word Naomi, her name meant pleasant, and apparently that's the kind of person she was. She was just one of these people that were pretty up and pretty excited and pretty enthused about these things. And so she returned, but I want you to notice that when you get to begin to get to verse 20, you begin to see something of the disappointments that Naomi had to begin to face. So in verse 20 it says, "Now she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi,'" in other words, pleasant, "'but call me Mara,'" which means better. So, and then she uses this interesting phrase, "for the Almighty." And that's the expression El Shaddai. And that's what Judy sang about tonight. And it occurs two times in this book. It occurs verse 20, and then it occurs down in verse 21. And so this is a reference, and it's a tribute to the faith of Ruth at this time. And so she recognized that God had allowed her to go through a pretty difficult and gruesome kind of thing along the way. And so it's in this context the scripture tells us. It says, she says, "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And so she looks at all of these things, the move, the loss of her husband, the loss of her children, the destruction of part of their family, but certainly all of the things that she looked at, it was just really pretty much a disappointment, and it was a disaster and everything. And she was coming back home, but boy, this was a tough kind of thing. I have often wondered what kind of journey that was for Ruth and Naomi. I mean, don't you suppose that that was a long journey, and it wasn't like they could do speed walking at that point in time? And so it was, and of course, if you've traveled and gone to Israel from time to time, that's an area that's not real easy to move around in, and it's not like there's a sidewalk or something like that you could go on. And so, you know, rugged trails, and a lot of it up and down, and easily you lose your balance one thing or another. Had they had a donkey or had they had a means of transportation, it might have made the trip go a little easier, but everything that's indicated from the scriptures, they didn't have any of that. And so they're walking, they're hoofing it, as we say today. And don't you suppose that there was some conversation that was taking place between the two of them? I mean, don't you think that Ruth was saying to Naomi, well, you know, why in the world do you think that God allowed this to happen? And what are the people like? And, I've heard all kinds of things about Israel and things like that, and you're not like anybody that I've ever met, or one thing or another. We've got all kinds of questions that they may or may not have asked, and as they looked through those things and they thought about all of those things, whatever you want to say, Ruth hung on and stuck it right out to the end. And so as you look at this scripture, it tells us that Naomi begins to talk about her bitterness. And in verse 21, she says, I went out full. She had a family. She had two sons. She had a husband. And then she says, the Lord has brought me home again empty. And one of the things that's interesting about this book is the number of times I've just kind of gone through as I've worked my way through the text. Every time I see the Lord's name, I highlight it in yellow. And if you looked at my Bible, you'd see all of these different kinds of things that you see in this text of Scripture. And so he says, the Lord, I went out full, but the Lord brought me home empty. Now, I suspect 10 years earlier, they thought that they were leaving empty, hoping to go someplace and to get filled. But it didn't work out just the way that they thought it was going to work out. And as you think about that, there were things that they were seeking 10 years ago. Apparently, it was a famine, and so it may be that the crops hadn't done well, and it was going to be lean cuisine, so to speak. You know, there was all of that. And as they looked at those things, they maybe didn't necessarily feel like things were going to work out just the way they wanted to. But now she comes back and she looks at this, and she's not thinking so much about the kind of stuff they had or didn't have to eat, or possessions that they didn't have or anything like that. She's thinking about the relationships that she sacrificed in those 10 years. And that's the tough one. That's the really tough one. You know, anytime you step apart from the will of God, you sacrifice relationships, either with the Lord or with others. That's just the cost of doing that kind of business along the way. And so there's a sense in which they were going it on their own, and it was a terrible price that they had to pay. And so then the text goes on and says, why do you call me pleasant since the Lord has testified against me? And there's that phrase again, El Shaddai, the Almighty One, has afflicted me. And so it's almost as though people were coming up and talking to her, and she was stopping and she was chatting, and you know, I'm sure there were people that were thinking, wow, boy, that's crazy that all that's happened and everything. What we understand is they would have had an inheritance there, and so there probably would have been some place for them to have at least to have stayed in some sense. And so, you know, how did she face those disappointments and everything? Verse 22, so they returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. They returned from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so there was a sense in which she, it seems apparent from the context and what we're going to see in the next chapters, that they made a commitment to be there and to do what the God wanted them to do and to just to take the steps that they felt like the Lord wanted them to take. I'm telling you, you're facing disappointments. You're facing things that are hard. The easiest thing for somebody on the outside is to say, you know, you just need to stay with the stuff. You need to keep on keeping on. You need to just sort of ride this one out, and you need to put your trust in the Lord and everything. And that's all good to say, but when you're in the middle of that kind of a journey, it's just tough advice. I mean, because your natural tendency is to look at people and say, well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't understand the kind of things that are happening. You don't have any idea what it's like to walk in my shoes. And a lot of times we sure don't. We just don't have, we don't have a perspective. But the thing of it is it's not up to me to be able to empathize with you or for you to be able to empathize with me because we have had the same sort of experiences. It is up to both of us to point to the God that has been through all of these difficulties, has been through all of these issues, and is faithful in the midst of all of those things. We've got to point people to the faithfulness of God. And that's the lesson from Ruth and Naomi, the faithfulness of God, and that we look to Him above everything else. So as we're thinking about these things in the days to come, we're going to find some difficulties. There's a lot of stuff going on. What Jeremiah's facing, not to minimize that, but that's those are difficulties that he's facing. But others of you are facing other sorts of things. Some of you are facing physical issues of one kind or another. I'll bet Jonathan would like to be back at BBC, but his health is of such nature that you can't be at BBC right now, right? And so he's kind of, to some extent, he's been kind of pushed to the shelf. And so we've got to collectively respond to Jonathan and say, Jonathan, keep looking to the Lord. Lord's going to take you through. You're going to see what God's going to do in those things. And that's what we've got to respond to each of us. Amen? God help us to look and focus on you above everything else. Thank you for your care in our lives. Thank you for your care for Naomi and for Ruth, Father, and the wonderful plan of redemption that they didn't see at all at this point in time, but you gave them the privilege to be part and parcel of it, Father. Help us to have that same enthusiasm to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.